Well, good evening, everybody. I got pretty nervous there for a second when you said Romans, because I've got one in Romans, but it is actually chapter 7 and not 8. You had me there for a second. We're going to focus in more on a person in the Bible tonight than we are a verse in particular. We're going to start off, I'm going to read you a verse, I'm going to ask Remington to open us after I read it, and we're going to talk about Paul a little bit. We're starting in Acts 7:58. This is the first time in the Bible where we really see the introduction of Paul, who at the time is Saul. Of course, later his name gets changed. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but we're going to read this. I'll ask you to stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And the Bible reads, "And cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul." Remington, if you'll open us up here, if you don't mind. Thank you, preacher. Don't clock out on me here, but I've got a little intro before we get into the actual points here. Don't clock out on me. So first, I just want to introduce Paul to you guys a little bit. I'd say most of you, if not all, already know who Paul is, but just for the sake of it, we're going to talk about him a little bit. So like I said, this is the first time in the Bible where we really see Paul. And the first time we see him here, he would be what is considered to be an accessory to murder. They're going here to kill Stephen, they're going to stone him, and they're laying their clothes at Paul or Saul's feet. I'll probably call him both 100 times tonight. But that's the first time we see him. So Paul is, and biblically, he's not off to a hot start here. He's not who you'd want to be around right here. He's still Saul. Then we're going to flip over. You don't have to follow with me, but I would encourage you to, as this story of Paul or Saul is a very powerful story throughout the Bible. We're going to flip over to Acts chapter number 8. I think this I have. This is verse 31. Make sure. Oh no, my handwriting's just bad. 8:3. I apologize for that. That's a slash, it's not a one. "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison." So here we see him disrupting the work of God. He's taking people that are in the church, that are God-fearing, God-worshiping people, tossing them in jail. Just because he's trying to, as it says, make havoc of the church. He's trying to do Satan's work here, which is still his primary concern, making havoc of the church. And in today's current age, seems he's doing a pretty good job. As we've got thrown out of the churches, you may not call it thrown out, but they wouldn't let us come to church. They said, you know, we had to block off half of our seating. We had the tape in between half the rows for safety precautions. Had to go outside. Blessed to be able to be here at all, but we had to be outside. Wouldn't let us inside. Still haven't got to get a one running back. They're doing a great job right now of keeping us out of the church, and it's a shame. But we see Saul here just doing Satan's work, keeping people out of the church and trying to keep them out permanently, throw them in jail. It doesn't say, you know, there's no, I don't doubt there are sentences back in. It don't say a life sentence, but I doubt they got it anytime soon. And if you can imagine the prison system today, how nasty and mean it is, think about how much worse things would have been back then. These people probably never came out of there. And if they did, I'd say they were brutally injured. Then we're going to flip over in Acts, still in introduction, to chapter 9. This will be verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." Again, still threatening people here. Still threatening people of the church. Scary game to play, if you ask me. You don't want to do that to God's chosen people. It's been shown time and time again what side the Lord's on here. Then again, I think... Two more. Two more in introduction, and then we'll be on to it, I promise. Acts 26:9-10. "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And this is going back to what I'd already said. Most of these people weren't only cast in prison. Most of them were executed. That's what prison was back then. There's, you know, wasn't a great law system, so most of these people just got lost and died. And he's still persecuting. As he said earlier, he did many things contrary to the name of Jesus. So he's intentionally doing things the way that Jesus would not want them done. And then we're going to fast forward and we're going to stop talking about the awful things that Paul did, or Saul at the time. Really what I've introduced to you so far has been Saul, not Paul. But then the last verse we're going to read in introduction is Acts 13:9. Acts 13:9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. That's the last thing we have in introduction. I just bring that to show that Paul was, this is the first time you see things starting to change here a little bit. And I looked up, I tried to find what Saul meant, and in the concordance that I use pretty frequently, and I couldn't find Saul, but I found Paul. I found what Paul means, and I'm going to attempt to maybe pronounce this Greek word, and I'm going to absolutely butcher it, so I apologize for that. In Greek, actually I'm going to spell it. It looked like an I-L-A-V-O-Z. Now, there's all those kinds of slash marks and stuff out beside the letters, and that's why I know that I can't pronounce it, so I've decided now not to try. But Paul means to cease, leave, or refrain. To me, what this means is he's leaving behind Saul and coming to Paul. He's got to cease, leave, and refrain Saul. Saul's got to go behind him. He can't be Saul no more. You got to leave back all this stuff that you was doing before. You can't bring it with you. When you come into the church and you've accepted Jesus, you can't bring what's outside with you in here. You can't carry it with you throughout your life. As soon as you make that decision, it's a decision that's going to change you forever. Darren talked about it Sunday. It's the difference between repentance and confession. Confession, I can simply tell you, yeah, I did something out there in the parking lot I probably shouldn't have done. I told you about it. I don't mean I'm sorry for it at all. That's a difference between, forgive me, I didn't mean, well, that's excused. Don't do that. You just have to repent. Say, will you forgive me for doing such? And just admit that you were wrong. Another verse, and this is point one, so we're actually getting into it now. And you, if you guys have listened to me preach before, you know that I'm turning all over the place. I just can't help myself. So I've got Acts 9:6 for the first thing, for the first point. A lot in Acts, but Darren still scared me on my Romans one. Acts 9:6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So here is what, in my opinion, where Paul or Saul first got to know the Lord. As you see at the very beginning of this verse right here, you see he said, Lord. And if you're not saved, you have no reason to refer to Jesus as Lord. I think this right here is Paul's confession that this is the Lord. This is who he should be worshiping. This is the thing that is the thing. I think this is where he first accepted him. But here's what I look at. And really the title of this, because I totally forgot it in all honesty, is lessons that I think we can learn from the life of Paul. So I've got an illustration for this one, and it's a flashlight. I think Paul was walking in the dark, and, you know, the light's hard to find nowadays. Like I already talked about, the churches are becoming rarer and rarer, and things are getting tough. And this is where he first showed Saul what he was doing wrong. So I'm going to try to shine this back here. I think it's where the darkest is. So I'm going to turn around here. So I've got a little different flash shot. And this is how I believe Satan was showing Paul, or Saul, perceived of what the light looks like. That little square. See, it ain't much. Satan, I think, is telling Saul previously, you can't walk in that. Look how small it is. And I'm farther away. I mean, I ain't even that close back here. Watch this. I get really back here. That circle, it just gets smaller and smaller. This is what Satan wants you to perceive of how hard it is and how difficult it is to accept Jesus into your life. He's telling you, you got this much space. But here's the truth. God, on an even greater scale than this flashlight, is big. It's got so big you can't even really see it because it's so bright. But this, it's all the way zoomed in. I tried to wish I could shine it and show you a little better, but maybe it'll go on the seat a little. See how much bigger it gets. The Lord will give you every opportunity in the world to accept Him. He's not going to give you a small light and say, well, you've got to do task A through Z in order to accept me. You got to do one thing. And that's just call on Him. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him for repentance. That's all you got to do. There ain't no small light. It's huge. You can't even see it. It's so big. And that is not anything that I plan to do because I thought it would work. But but it's that big. So big that it's even unfathomable. If I pronounce that right. And the light, walking in the light, what it'll do for you. Think about the dark. I wish it was dark in here, but I don't want to trip. So, in the dark, you can't really see what you're doing. And I think in the dark, where Saul was at first, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what he was doing in general. Because you're walking, and you can't see. In the light, when you're with Jesus, it gets so much easier to see what life is really about. It's not about the cars and the houses, the clothes, the shoes, the flashlights. It's about this. Here. And the final illustration I'll use, the flashlight, is I'm going to blind you, Justin. Oh, I don't know how that happened. The closer you get to the light, easier it becomes. You get this much closer to Jesus, the light gets this much brighter. And here's a beautiful part about it. Thank you. Justin didn't have to walk to me. Lord, come to you. I didn't make Justin get up. I didn't come. He didn't come up here to me. Lord will come to you with the light, and He'll present it to you. Second thing I want to look at, being off point one here, is in Romans chapter 7, verse 24. Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So what I want to show you here is not only was Paul walking in the dark, or Saul, like I said, I'm going to flip it 100 times. He was also broken. As a Christian, we're going to have to go through a lot of trials. But nearly the amount that you have to do when you're not saved is so much worse. Paul was broken. He didn't know what he was doing. He's saying here, a wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death. He's admitting he is a wretched man. He's broken. And this is even after Paul has been saved, which is why I illustrate that it ain't easy. It ain't supposed to be. Think about some of the things in recent memory that have been changed for the church and things like I already talked about. I want to read John 15:18. I want to read that real quick. I'm tangenting a little bit here, but I want to talk about it. I taught a Sunday school lesson on this, and I thought about, I had expounded on it a little bit, and I studied on it a little more, and honestly, that's what I had planned on talking about for this whole message, was that Sunday school lesson, and it didn't work out, but it weaved its way in here. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Underline that if you don't have it underlined. I really encourage you to do that. I really believe in that. When I've got it wrote down on one of my pages when Darren talked about it, and I could never find it because there's writing all in this thing. You flip through it, you'll see markings all through it. But that just, it's an example of what I've learned since I've had this Bible. This isn't even my first one. The other one, there's no telling what's in it. But this is an illustration. But anyways, there was a team, because y'all know me, I'm a big basketball fan. Go back to March Madness. There was a team that were 15 seed, Oral Roberts. Luke looked up, he knows what I'm talking about. They were a Cinderella team, and they got past the first round. That's the only reason anybody cared about them. And there was an article published the day after they had advanced that was about Oral Roberts should be banned from the NCAA tournament. That's interesting. Let's read it. So why should Oral Roberts be banned? There's two reasons that they said that they should not be allowed in the NCAA tournament. One, They did not allow profanity on their campus. No big deal. But here's the thing where people got really upset. They have a strict no homosexuality policy. None on Oral Roberts campus. If you are professed to be, you will be kicked out of the campus. You will not be on the campus. And they saw that because only because they got in the tournament and said, well, that should not be a thing. They should be kicked out. That's whatever. I don't know what they called it. But that's just a strict rule that Jesus has in the Bible. And that's what I'm saying when they're trying to change all these rules now. They're not even rules, first of all. These are the rules. What we have planned in Congress or Biden's office or the judiciary system, it really doesn't even matter. Of course we're going to try to obey the laws because that's in here. It tells you to obey the governmental laws. But these are the real laws. And the fact that somebody should be kicked out of a whole tournament because of their on-campus policy that lines up with the Bible, by the way, is absolutely ridiculous. We're just making it so much worse. We're straying so far away from God. And when we'll get back on what I was talking about. Even with Paul being broken, as he said, he's still being used. Like I said, it's tough right now. We have COVID, we have quarantine. Of course, it's getting better, but there's never been a time like this before in history. You are probably tireder than you've ever been. Probably more discouraged. I was real discouraged when we couldn't come here. It was awful. I hated it. But you can still be used. Just because you don't feel like you're capable if you just call on the Lord and ask Him to help you. He'll help you if you ask. That's like Darren had just talked about. And a point I always like to construe when I talk about the brokenness, I think it's a lot more powerful, and this is my opinion, when you're broken to be doing stuff than the Lord, but when everything's A-okay. When everything's A-OK and you're going out there doing stuff for the Lord and there's nothing wrong with being A-OK, if you are, thumbs up. Good for you. I'm happy for you. But when you're broken and people know, wow, you know, this just happened last week. He's having a hard time. And you're still down the hall teaching your Sunday school class. You're standing up here. You're preaching. You're just walking around, shaking hands with people. By the way, I love when people come around and shake my hand. I love talking to you guys. It means the world to me. I hope it does to y'all too. I try to, you know, come talk to some of you guys. You need to be in here, you're sitting, you're just listening. I think that means a lot more because everybody knows you're going through a trial. So look, he's still trying to exonerate the Lord and show how great the Lord's grace is, even through a time of trial, which you're going to get. Number three, let's talk about some stuff that Paul did. I've already, you know, in introduction, talked about some of the bad things that Paul did to segue into points one and two. Let's talk about some good stuff, because Paul did a lot for the Lord in his time on the planet. He obviously spread the Word of God, is attributed with 13 books of the Bible, one of the most influential preachers, in my opinion, throughout the Bible that spread the Word just as well as any of the other ones. Changed his whole life, got it all flipped around, as I read to you earlier, and I think he really exemplify what the Lord will do for you. I think it's the best illustration in the whole Bible as far as other people. It's my favorite illustration at the least, is he was doing quite literally the exact opposite of what the Lord would have a Christian to do. He was slandering the church. He's driving people away from the church. He's killing people that go to the church, doing everything he can to stop the Word of God. And then, like that, 180. Doing the exact opposite. Great example. So let's talk about some other stuff, and because it's not going the direction you might think it is. Let's talk about some of the stuff Jesus has done during his lifetime. Water to wine, raised the dead man, made the blind to see, saved us all, gave you the opportunity anyways to be saved from a devil's hell, put us all in a great church, at least speaking for everyone that's in the building right now, your car, your house, food, clothes, job, your financial situation, that you have a financial situation, everything. I can't even begin to list it all. I used the word unfathomable earlier, but it's really what it is. I mean, I can't even begin to list the amount of things that Jesus has done for you, for me, in our lifetime. And I can't list the things that He's going to do. I've heard Darren and Remington and a lot of other preachers say, if I started now, and it's in a song, I can't think of the name of the song, I still wouldn't be done by the time I died. And it's entirely true. There's so many things that he's done for us that I can't even think of. I mean, the best example and one of my favorite things is think about the most dangerous thing a human does on a daily basis is driving. It's statistical. The most dangerous thing that we all do on a daily basis is drive. It's even more dangerous than getting in a plane, even though most, including myself, are terrified of heights and planes. I would never get on a plane. But statistically, driving is more dangerous. So assuming that you're all here, I don't think anyone got in a fatal car crash yesterday, but I bet you drove. I bet you're still in your car yesterday. I bet you still went to work. You still went to go get something to eat. And if you didn't, you did the day before. There's no way you haven't drove in the last week. I mean, you're here. I don't think anybody lives here, not that I know of. So you drove here, or somebody else drove you here. Simply something is a car not swerving into your lane. Because despite the things that God did do, think about the things that He's not allowed to happen to you. You were born in what I will forever say is the greatest country in the world. I truly believe that. He allowed you to be here and not get in a car accident, be able to be fully nourished, get something to eat before you came here, and just be as well off as we are. Things may be wrong, but things are great. You have the opportunity right now sitting in this church. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're not, you still have the opportunity, and you need to jump on it as soon as you can, because point number three, life is short, folks. We ain't got a lot of time here. I think the average lifespan is between 70 and 80 years old for men and women, and I didn't look that up, so I could be wrong, but we're going to split the difference and call it 75. 75 years is a good amount of time. It really is. But let's just compare it to eternity. I mean, think about how just small and insignificant that is. In 200, 300 years, nobody is going to know who in the world I was or who in the world you were. Nobody's going to have a clue. But what people will remember is what you spread and what you did throughout your lifetime. They may not remember my name, but there may be somebody out here that remembers something I said tonight that they tell their kid. And that may help their kid to start their relationship with the Lord. And they might tell their kid. And that could go on forever. So I encourage, for point number three, with life being so short, to start as early and often and as frequent as possible to spread the Word of God. There's nothing more important that you can do. You can do a lot of great things down here, and I encourage you to do a lot of great things down here. But the number one most important thing you can do is help people understand the Word of God. Especially if you know, it's not an easy book to understand. And it takes study, and that's why Darren and so many others will, you know, tell you to read your Bible. Because if you don't, and you come in on Sunday, and Darren starts reading whatever Darren's going to read, you're probably not going to understand it, because it really is complicated. Like there's, like, you know, like he talked about the wording last week. If you study it, yeah, it's going to make sense. I generally know what Darren's talking about. But even sometimes for me, who reads my Bible, I have to ask. I've asked Darren on numerous occasions, "What in the world did that mean? I have no idea what you're talking about." It happens. And the earlier you start that too, the better understanding you'll have of this book, and the better you can instruct people on what it means. You can help so many people just by having an understanding of the Word of God. Four. We're going to flip to Matthew chapter 28. This is another verse that I would, and I'm going to say this to this time and one more time, that I would encourage you to underline. Again, I cannot stress how much I believe in that, because every time I flip through my Bible and I see something that's underlined, and especially double underlined, even though if that's not what I'm studying or where I'm studying, I'll generally stop and read it. Verse 19, Matthew 28. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost." So I have a little writing down here below my Bible. Thanks to everybody in the sound booth for keeping up with me, because I haven't told them any of these verses. I didn't talk to anybody in the sound booth before this, so thank you. But what this means to me is the gospel's for everybody. You know, looking at some of the people through the Bible, and I'm going to talk about three very briefly, I promise. First, I've already talked about Saul. Murder. Accessory to murder. Slander of the church. And even aside the murder of Stephen, He's responsible for throwing those people in prison who were eventually executed. So he's not just a murderer of one. There's probably thousands of thousands of thousands of people that Saul was responsible for the execution of. King David was an adulterer. Peter had a little bit of a mean streak. You know, he cut off a guy's ear. I don't know what to call it. We'll call it a mean streak. He cut off a guy's ear. I don't get much meaner. If somebody cut off my ear, I'd be pretty upset. But the point of that is, all three of these guys are in heaven right now. At least in my understanding. All three of those guys are in heaven right now. And, you know, judging again by the fact that all you're sitting in here, I don't think anybody has killed anybody or cut anybody's ear off. You're perfectly capable of being eligible for God, because everybody is. It's not for me, just because you don't wear a suit, just because you don't have fancy shoes, you don't drive a fancy car. Nobody cares. It's for you. This is all for you. It's for Justin, it's Luke, Darren, me, Seth, John, everybody. Everybody can accept the Lord into their life. He gives you the opportunity. If you're in this church right now and you're not saved, you have an opportunity. And as I've already said, jump on it. Start as early as you can. The Lord will make your light so much brighter. Number five. And this is the toughest one because, and I think a lot of other people would vouch for me on this, just because we preach this stuff doesn't mean it's not hard for me too. You know, it's hard to live by a lot of this. You know, stuff is tough sometimes. Just because I'm up here telling you about it and telling you what the Lord would have me to speak to y'all doesn't mean it's easy for me. And personally, this is the hardest thing for me. So we look back in Acts, and I'm not going to flip to it. You don't have to either. When the Lord came to Saul on Damascus Road, the biggest and most important thing that I think Paul did was he listened to him. He didn't say, you know, it's kind of late. Just come back in the morning if you don't care. You know, I start tomorrow. I work at 9. Sorry. He listened to what the Lord told him to do. And that is, you know, we can't do it our way because our way is flesh. And flesh is just, it's not good, to say the least. The most important thing is he was, what I wrote down as, receptive. And he obeyed. It's so hard to listen to some of the stuff the Lord tells you. And I was going to talk about, and Darren kind of already hit on it with Luke, I was going to talk about it with myself. I didn't, when I was told to preach, I didn't jump on it and say, okay, great, let's go. I said, no thank you. I will take a pass on this one. So I'll be back next week. I'll be at church, but I ain't doing that. No thanks. And I'm telling you, and it may not be preaching, because it's, you know, it's not for everybody, and he's not going to ask everybody in here to preach. Although, you know, we've had a lot of preachers from this church called. Thank God for it. It will eat you alive. It will drive you nuts. It will consume you from the time that you start getting that message till the time that you accept it. And here's the number one thing that I would show you with this. I probably run from it for, let's say 8 months, because I don't think it was quite a year. I run from it. I said, I don't want to do it. Here I am. Yeah. Doing it anyways. If I'd have started 8 months earlier, I wouldn't have had to run from it. I mean, it was awful. I wouldn't have had to go through all that. If I would have just said, sure, yeah, that sounds great. I'll do what you said. I wouldn't have had to be, you know, I didn't sleep a lot of nights. Yeah, I wouldn't have had to go through that. If you just listen and do what the Lord had to tell you, it'll benefit you. Just preaching has done so much for me because it gives me more motivation to study. And I think for me personally, that's why I was called, because it gives me so much more motivation to study and learn things and have knowledge to tell other people. I think for me personally, that's why that I was called to preach, is just to give me more motivation to study. Lastly, and has nothing to do with Paul, but again, if you've heard me preach before, you know that I always close out with this. So, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. This is, you know, I probably prayed about this more than the actual message, because I haven't preached, especially here, in a good while. And I've always closed out with this, and I said, Lord, people are going to think I'm nuts because I'm still doing this. I said, are you sure? And I got the memo that he still wants me to read it, so we're going to read it. Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's as simple as it gets, folks. You know, you're going to have people, because there are different denominations and different beliefs throughout. That's it. That's really it. That's as simple as it gets, right there. And I said I was going to say it again. Underline it. This is, you know, Darren had us all come up here and tell us our favorite verse one night during a revival session, I do believe it was. And this has been mine. This has been the thing that I've held on to forever. Because, you know, people see, like I've talked about, you know, I've done this, I've done that. I don't think the Lord would have me. I don't think I'm suitable. I don't think I'm good enough. It doesn't matter. All you have to do is say, yeah, I believe you. You were down here, you were killed, raised from the dead. I'd like to repent, ask you to forgive me. And then you just got to change it. Change everything. Start living for the Lord. I've already said you can't be doing the same old stuff. I really appreciate you guys having me. I think this is all I've got today. I've got the memo to cut it off here. So I'm going to turn it over to Remington for our third preacher. I'm kidding, I promise. I think we're doing a double, not a triple tonight. Unless you want it, then get up here. Thank y'all for having me.